7/17.
Yeah, 7/17. Who would like to do the invocation? Okay. Please rise for an invocation led by Mr. Flowers and a flag salute led by Ms. Miranda Jimenez.
The grace of Heaven, Father, Lord God, we come this evening, Lord, praise you and thank you first and foremost, Lord God, just for who you are. Lord God, I ask you to continue to have your way in each and every one of our lives. Continue to guide us, Lord God, and direct us in the way in which you want us to go. Bless this board, Lord God. Use us for thy glory. Lord God, give the wisdom, knowledge, and direction in which to lead. Bless the superintendent and staff, Lord God. We pray for our teachers, Lord God. Lord, use them. We pray for our students, Lord God. Lord God, have your way in their lives and keep them covered in, Lord God, in the way and guide us in the way they should go. We love you and we praise you. We thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the flag salute. Right hand over the heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Schumacher?
Here.
Ms. Wallace?
Here.
Ms. Miranda Jimenez?
Here.
Mr. Flowers?
Here.
Mr. Monades?
Present.
Dr.
Here. Okay, this is our report of action taken in closed session. In accordance with Education Code Section 48918, Subsection J, the Board will take final action in open session on the expulsion matters described in Item A of the closed session agenda. With regard to the recommendation to expel student number 208279 for violation of Education Code Section 78900, Subsection A1, and Education Code Section 48915, subsection C2. Is there a motion?
I'll move it.
Now second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. Okay. A public hearing is hereby declared open at 7:19 p.m. for the purpose of hearing public input on the education protection account. Is there anybody who would like to address the board regarding this item? Okay. There being no further comment, the public hearing is hereby declared closed at 7:20 p.m. A public hearing is hereby declared open at 7:20 p.m. for the purpose of hearing public input on the Local Control Accountability Plan, LCAP. Is there anyone who would like to address the board regarding this item?
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
My name is Bill Martinez. I'm the music teacher at Montrose Middle School. And what do I come up here? I'm sorry.
That way it's recorded.
Okay. Hi, my name is Bill Martinez. I'm the music teacher at Hollencrest Middle School. And I want to respectfully ask that the district and the district sites look into providing not only the funding that arts programs need, but also the wording in LCAP reports and statements saying that this is a district that backs the arts. I believe my district, I believe my site does back the arts. I also know that as an arts teacher, we have to constantly be aware of the fact that there at times will be a place where districts need to decide, do they fund this or do they fund that? And in a perfect world, arts teachers wouldn't have to worry about that. My hope is that this district will be, provide an example and also, provide an example of what other districts can do. But also realize and support and fund the programs that exist. And I put together a little bit of information, some paperwork regarding how arts programs in our district do satisfy the LCAP requirements. They emphasize them, they enhance them, and I hope that with some extra time that you have, you'll take some time to read that.
Thank you.
Okay, that is all. Thank you.
In my stack of requests to address the Board of Education, there are two other speakers who sound like they want to address the same issue, and so I'm going to give you the opportunity to either speak now or about 10, 20 minutes from now when we get to public comment. And those speakers are Juan Jose Garcia and Maya Mendez. So it's your choice. Okay, so we'll go ahead and have Juan Jose Garcia first.
And then hello, my name is Juan Jose Garcia. I am currently a student at Cal State Fullerton, and I am actually an alumnus of the West Covina Unified School District, having been a student here from fourth grade all the way through high school, having been an old student of Mr. Martinez as well as Mr. Olivas over at West Covina High School in the music program. So, as I said, I've been a student here for a very good amount of time, and I have always been a student of the arts, have always been a student of music, and it benefited me so much beyond belief. I'm actually, at the moment, trying to attain my bachelor's in music education to become a high school music teacher in my future. And I would not be the person I would be without the arts programs. So when Mr. Martinez came to my music fraternity, Phi Mu Alpha Symphonia Fraternity, to help with funding to buy new music stands and equipment for the students, we jumped right on board and created a new fundraising program called Stand Up for Kids. And in doing so, we were thankfully able to fundraise over $1,000 for this program, and that will lead to, if I did my math correctly, about 36 new music stands, which is a good amount, and I'm happy to be supporting my old music program and supporting the arts. But having the LCAP to help support that funding, having the LCAP help support these music programs, these arts programs across the entire district, would be so beneficial. These students would be encouraged to become more creative thinkers, have a different side to them, and be able to express themselves in a different way. That's what I garnered from it, and that's what many of my peers and students that I see within the university system and within all the high school, middle school, and elementary school systems attaining from being in arts programs. So if we could help fund it and help support it, this district, like Mr. Martinez said, will set an example for all districts on how the arts are just beneficial to any student, whether they go on to do the arts in college or not. It is always beneficial. Thank you.
Thank you. Juan Jose Garcia. Okay. Maya Mendez, did you want to speak now or later? Okay, go ahead.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mayola Mendez. I'm a mother of an eighth grade son, Julian Mendez. He just was promoted this past Wednesday. And the reason why I'm here is I just want to come to share what I've been doing. I've been a booster parent for 3 years. I dedicated a lot of time and effort. And because I've seen a growth in my son's behavior. He's so enthusiastic, he's so happy. He became more responsible, he's more dedicated, especially in music. He learned to play three instruments already. And last year he was participating on regular band at Hollandcrest. He also was doing the extracurriculum after school program for jazz, as well as he was volunteering for the marching band at West Covina. So he already been through there, and he was so excited. He wanted me to just not go to eighth grade and become, part-time already in high school. And the reason why, I just want to say a few more words. I'm nervous. I want to share, there's a lot of parents that have come with me, with Mr. Martinez, to support him. Because we think it's very important to have the music going on. And we think that it will be great for you guys to support music. Also, I want to mention the fact that not a lot of parents are willing to volunteer. It's really hard. Now I'm a full-time job working mom. And so I was kind of worried to leave Mr. Martinez alone, so I was trying to talk to a lot of parents, and it's really hard. not a lot of parents want to volunteer. And the year before, we had a little group of parents that we used to sell snacks after school. That was our biggest hit because we were able to bring a lot of money for the field trips, for the buses. But then the school district, they did not allow that. So it was harder for us for this year to help us raise more money. So I hope you guys can really help. Thank you.
Dr. Hammond.
Thank you, President Shoemaker. You know, I have to tell you, I'll start with Mr. Martinez. When I came by and visited your classroom, I thought it was an advanced band class I was listening to, and he went to tell me that was beginning band. And I will tell you, when I visited West Covina High School, I was just so drawn in by their band and their open house. You just couldn't help but just migrate over in that direction, and the dance program over there and the choir program. I guess I'm maybe perplexed isn't the word, but I just want to assure you, in my short tenure here, it's been my job to get the temperature of the district and its goals and where its belief system is. And I can assure you, under no uncertain terms, that this board is a big fan of the arts. There is no discussion to cut the arts. Fundraising is a reality of any program, whether it's an athletic program, arts, choir, dance. There's going to be some aspect of the fundraising, but it is, I know this board's intent, because they believe in it passionately, in the arts, to continue doing all they can in support of it. So, and I understand if you look through the LCAP, you may not see specifically the commitment, verbatim to the arts, but I want to assure you, as a superintendent, it's there, and that we'll continue supporting it.
Is there anyone else who would like to address the board regarding the LCAP? Mr. Johnson?
Good evening, Madam President. I wasn't planning on speaking on this item, but just a little of my past history. Years ago, I was involved with West Covina Unified School District for a lot of years. My son's 40 years old now. My daughter's 35. My son started playing music in West Covina High School when he was in the sixth grade. Sixth grade, seventh grade, all the way through high school. He was in the jazz band. He was in the marching band. He walked in the Pasadena parade. He went to Citrus College, played in the jazz band, went all over the world playing in the jazz band. And he got his start from right here. My daughter, she started in the band, but then she decided she loved the choir. She went into she was in the West Covina for quite a few years. And I have zillions and zillions of VCH tapes of mine. Never missed. I was a band booster from the time my son started playing all the way through. He was in Monta Vista. He was in Willowwood. He was in Edgewood. And he was in high school in West Covina four different years because the school started changing. So our music program in West Covina has had a great history. I've never seen a board yet that was against the arts, and I'm quite sure this board's the same way. So, like I said, I didn't have any intention on coming up here and speaking tonight, but the arts have all meant a lot to me and my family. I've seen what they've done. My son still plays the bass guitar. He took it up. He used to play at Faith Community Church quite a few years before he moved to Arkansas. But I think our district has a past history of supporting our arts, and I'd just love to see it keep going. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. There being no further comment, the public hearing is hereby declared closed at 7:31 p.m. And now for our final public hearing of the evening. A public hearing is hereby declared open at 7:31 p.m. for the purpose of hearing public input on the 2015-2016 budget. Is there anyone who would like to address the board regarding the 2015-16 budget? No? Okay. There be no further comment. The public hearing is hereby declared closed at 7:32 p.m. I don't have a specific report other than to say congratulations to all of the schools on a successful end of the year. specifically to the middle and high schools on their promotions and graduations and award ceremonies. It's been a busy several months for us. Just when open houses were finished, we started like you did with all of the promotions and award ceremonies, and every single one that I was able to attend was phenomenal. And so, again, congratulations on a successful end of the year, and sorry that we need to already start ramping it up for the next school year. Any other board member? Mrs. Pullis?
It was a wonderful end of the year, and I appreciate everything that people put into that to make that happen. We've heard that there's been a concern about special ed in our district, and that we want to look at that. Well, one of the ways we can do is we already have a really good partnership with Parents Place, and they're housed right here at one of our schools. They're having an open house on June 26th from 4 to 8 o'clock. Everyone's welcome, and there's activities for children, so feel free to bring your children. Make sure that everybody knows about it. The Parents Place connects families with resources in the community. They also teach them how to advocate for their special needs child if they're having trouble with regional center or they don't understand their IEP. Sometimes parents just need somebody to listen to and just cry, and then they're ready to advocate for their child. So we've been there since my son was young, and I hope that I only have enough for the people sitting here, but if you need one, I'm sure Monica could and I have an extra one if anybody wants it. But I hope that if you yourself can't go, but you know a parent that has a special needs child, please pass this information on to them. We want to make a difference for all families, and there was some dissatisfaction, and now we've really done some great things in special ed, but this will also help empower parents so they feel good about advocating for their child.
And to reiterate, it's Friday, June 26th from 4 to 8 p.m., and the school that Parents Place is at is the Coronado High School. That way, if somebody doesn't get the flyer, maybe they want to listen to what's now been a two-and-a-half-hour meeting.
And anybody who's listening to it, because I know a lot of people just like to listen to our board meetings.
Okay. Ms. Miranda Jimenez.
Thank you, Ms. Pullis. I've gone before, and she's right. They're excellent to attend and to see all the resources that were there. I was so impressed the one time I was able to go, so I put it on my calendar. I too, am echoing the graduations and the awards evenings. Coronado has the most, Mr. Monenthes, there you are, has the most personal and touching awards ceremonies night. They just outdid themselves this year. It was so good to see the energy, and thank you. And your graduation is always so much fun. However, I have to say, for graduations, I think RVA took it this year. That one was so personal, and it was beautiful to see the parents there and the lunch that they had there. So I'm so glad. Let's see, the principal, I think, left already. I'm so glad that they did it at the school site and that they allowed it to be very, very, very personal. That was a beautiful, well-done graduation, and it was their first. So I was really pleased with that. Edgewood was excellent. Andrew Lesh's speech was very good. I remember seeing him in eighth grade, and he topped himself. Eighth grade was really good, so... And it worked out wonderfully to be at West Covina High. I heard from so many parents that night on the floor when I went down to congratulate students and greet people. They were so pleased that it was moved to what they were calling district-filled. They weren't calling it Thyberg-filled. I said, no, is this Thyberg? We don't have a district-filled. But they loved that they were able to invite all their friends and family. I even heard one student took 50 tickets. And they were so incredibly grateful. They said we could see, we could hear. Everything about it worked great. Nobody felt like they were at the rival high school. So I'm so pleased that it went successfully over with Edgewood, and congratulations to the staff who put that on. It was such a wonderful graduation. And West Covina High did a really good job this year as well. And I know that was a lot of new staff with West Covina High, so hats off. They had quite a few new people, and they pulled it off, and it was a great graduation. So I want to congratulate all the principals and all the administrators and all the support staff for going the distance. I know with West Covina High, they had to also work Monday in order to make Edgewood's graduation happen. So I want to thank them. That was excellent. And I want to thank Trustee Flowers and the superintendent for coming to San Jose's. Thank you. It's nice to support the charter school in our district. And my daughter cleaned up. I was very happy. But it was very good. And I'm proud to say that she is officially a proud Bulldog. I want to compliment West Covina High School. I see some West Covina High School teachers in the audience. She started summer school Monday. So we are officially Bulldogs. We're a Bulldog home. So that went off without a hitch. So I want to let Mr. Prestella, I don't see him, but Mr. Prestella and the staff over at West Covina High, it was, the campus was clean. You would have never guessed there was a graduation where everything was turned over. It was wonderful. It was smooth. The bells rang on time. I was so impressed. It was my first time having to deal with traffic and stuff, and everything went fine. So I even offered the teacher some supplies, and he said, nope, I got a box right here. So I said, okay, if you're good, then I'm going to go ahead and go. So I want to say hats off to the West Covina High staff for having a really good first day of summer school. So thank you, everyone. Excellent job on the graduations. I look forward to next year to see, especially after our 100-day report, to see all the growth that we're going to have and all of what we will be celebrating a year from now. So, again, congratulations for this year.
Mr. Maneras?
I'll be brief. I just wanted to, you know, being new to the district and still learning a lot about the district, I did want to congratulate and thank the teachers for a successful year. I know that most people think summers for teachers are time off and go vacation, but in reality, the life of a teacher, you never stop being a teacher. And while most people assume you're vacationing, you're actually already thinking about next year and planning and preparing and meeting with others. So whatever time you do get, please enjoy it, because you do need to recharge your own battery. You do need to take care of yourself so that you can take care of all of our students. So again, I thank you for your hard work this year, and I look forward to a great 15-16. Thank you.
I also like to thank the superintendent for his 100-day report. It's absolutely wonderful. And Mr. Martinez, I do enjoy your class when I come by and hear your students play. I thought about you today when the general manager from the mall came by and sat with the superintendent when I, and they said they're looking for somebody to sometime come in, and when they put on something in the mall, they would like to have a band or a dance group come along and do something. I thought of you.
Did that in October, actually.
I know. I thought of you. And I'd like to say also, Eileen and Miranda Jimenez and I was able to attend a round table with Dr. Senator Ed Hernandez.
Thank you.
And it was such a wonderful event that and very informative also. And also in the promotions and the graduations, outstanding. And I'm just so proud of this district and the direction they're headed. And it's just the sky's the limit for this district. And I also like to say I'm glad to see my friend, Mr. Lord Johnson, in the house today. You know, good to see you, my friend. Yeah. Our future city councilman, I guess.
Don't be political.
That's it for me.
Okay. Dr. Hinman?
Thank you, President Shoemaker. I know that staff does not have any reports this evening, so I want to take a couple moments and just also congratulate all the graduating class of 2015. Mm-hmm. It was actually my first opportunity to accept a class. I've been to numerous graduations, but I've never had the chance to actually accept a class. That was a highlight of my career so far, and hopefully many more to come. I want to take a special moment, and I really want to commend my staff, my cabinet, because as you were talking about, board, earlier about going to open house and graduations, you know, while we did that too, we really were shutting down and opening up 15-16. Because all the preparation that happens is in the spring for the following year. You know, Mr. Seaman, congratulations to you, all the staffing. There was teacher movement. He's still working with negotiations and making sure that all of our schools are fully staffed and ready to open up in August. Dr. Coughlin, obviously the budget, you know, phenomenal amount of work, taking the governor's budget, looking at the May revise, plugging in the numbers, making sure that we're fiscally sound. As I know, this board, more than any other I've worked with, fiscal stability is paramount to them. And then Ms. Hawkins, I mean, all the information that I shared with you today, all of that data, virtually all of those goals are really going to be derived out of the Education Division. And the amount of work that she's already done and that she's going to be doing is really, really phenomenal. So I want to thank the three of you for making my job so awesome. So thank you. The other point, I also want to talk, you know, Dr. Coughlin, meant to also say, while summer school opened very smoothly, thank you. You know, one of the biggest fears we have is transportation, and I want to commend the transportation department for really being up and running and ready to go on day one of summer school. We didn't leave anybody behind. Everyone was transported, and that really means a lot for us. And lastly, board, you saw in the presentation, I know you agreed because I saw your heads moving, that, you know, we're moving into the 21st century and technology is important to you, not only district-wide into the classroom, but actually, you know, if we're going to talk the talk, we're going to need to walk the walk. So with that being said, I'm going to do something a little different, and I'm going to turn the presentation over to Monica to share a few things.
Just to let the board know that we will be moving into the 21st century and actually move to doing our agendas online. Eric Calderon and I will be visiting a couple of districts that already have a couple programs in place to compare them. And before we talk to vendors, we'd like to see what the actual users feel about them. My counterparts, his counterparts, what technology we need to move this forward. So it will be coming to you very, very soon.
And like the teachers who are doing continuous training, we will ask the board to participate in some training as well, working with either an iPad or a laptop to be able to fully understand the transition from all of this paper, President Shoemaker, to where we have it all electronically. And in the long run, we're actually going to save a lot of money because you know how much we grind out. So thank you.
May I be excused from those training sessions?
Yes. There'll be a
since I'm the board member constantly begging for no more paper.
There'll be a test. If you pass the test, then you can be excused from the training.
I will pass.
Yeah, okay.
Especially I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Monica.
Can I add to that?
Sure.
Will it be a board agenda item to get our feedback about some of the things that we'd like to see with those programs, or no?
Basically, this is our way of letting you know this is the path we're headed down.
Okay.
As Monica suggested, we have a lot of due diligence to get ready to make a presentation to the board. So to answer your question, yes.
Okay,
there will be
good.
Plenty of opportunities to have that discussion.
Because at all of these conferences, there's always presentations, and I know one of my concerns is to be able to take notes, and not every system has that capability.
Yes.
So, okay, Good. It'll be a board item. Good.
It's an Apple. Evernote. iPad system. Okay. Let's see. Finished with our reports. Now we will move on to items from the floor, public comment. I have a few remaining cards. The first card is Ms. Wendy Duncan.
Good evening. I'm Wendy Duncan. I teach at West Covina High School. Next year will be my 27th year of teaching here. I wanted, when we were going over the failures, the D's and F's, and the superintendent brought up, you know, so many people were failing PE. And the question came up about if the kids had clothing, if they had laundry facilities, all that. Well, I assure you that at West Covina High School, I can speak for the high school, our kids, first off, they're offered, if they can't buy clothes, they're offered free clothes, uniforms. If they don't want the uniforms, they can wear anything they want to wear to do PE. So if you look on our fields, you'll see, you know, green and purple and yellow tops and who knows what you'll see. But anyway, they don't have to wear PE clothes, so they have the ability to do PE. Then the question came up, well, maybe they don't have laundry facilities. We wash clothes for the kids who need them. It is not put on the marquee that we're having to wash Susie Q's clothes. I mean, we don't do that. It's private. I've had kids come in, and I wash their clothes from home because in my class I have a washer and dryer. I've had kids come in, Mrs. Duncan, our washer and dryer is broken. We can't afford the laundromat. I said, bring them in. They'll get done. You can pick them up after school. Nobody knows. We're not, you know, putting, I have to have the school do laundry for me. We don't do that. So really there's no excuse for kids not dressing at West Covina High School. I would guess, I'm not a PE teacher, but the reason the kids fail PE is because, number one, they might be absent. Number two, they don't do their PE. They might dress, but then they don't do anything. So I did want to address that so that you know that there's really not an excuse for a kid at West Covina High School not to be clothed and clean for a PE. Thank you.
Okay, Rose Kennelly.
Good evening, the school board, Dr. Hansen, and superintendents. My name is Rose Kennelly, and I previously spoke about preparation period for elementary, which is what I'm going to speak to again, address again. The preparation period is a time of day which teachers use for professional work. This is self-directed time built into the school day. At the secondary level, teachers are given this time. I was fortunate to have a preparation period when working at the secondary level. However, at the elementary level, prep time is not provided. I disagree with the position that prep time for elementary school faculty begins after the school day. The after-school environment is a busy time for teachers. Teachers have a myriad of duties and responsibilities that are time-consuming. Bus duty, responding to parent phone calls or an unexpected phone call, calling the parent who has not yet picked up their child from school, responding to emails, attending parent-teacher conferences. These activities are part of the daily life of being a teacher, but this is not self-directed. Having a prep time at the elementary level will have a direct positive impact on the quality of our students' learning experiences. Elementary teachers are requesting one day a month to have uninterrupted prep time to develop, organize, and plan instruction, which is a key component to effective teaching and helps to prepare our students to achieve academic success now and in the future. Thank you.
Hi, good evening. It's nice to see so many familiar faces. I'm Erin Reed, and I am a teacher at West Covina High School. I am going into my 16th year teaching at West Covina High School, and I have a few things I would like to address with the board. I'll try to be as brief as possible. Those of you that know me know sometimes that's kind of difficult. Mr. Hammond, I wanted to thank you for your 100-day presentation. We were not aware that that was going to be part of tonight's presentation, but it actually gave me a few more talking points as I feverishly started scribbling notes down on my pad. And what I was originally here to talk about is actually going to kind of shift until the latter part. So first, more than ever, I'm realizing that there is immense pressure on teachers. more than ever. Ms. Shoemaker, I heard you say, well, we've been looking at these same things for years. I've been here for 10 years, and why are we still looking at the same things? I think the answers are really, really simple. And when we look at that, it's class size. It's simply class size. Our class sizes are too large. When we look at our AP classes, we have current classes are anywhere from 22 to 27 enrolled in an AP class. It allows the teacher to really give an individualized instruction. At West Covina High School next year, our class count, we're looking at 36 students in AP classes across curriculums. That really makes it very difficult to give individualized instruction at an AP level. It's really hard to give quality instruction to such a large group at the AP level. And I think you're going to see some statistical change with the increase in class size at that level, number one. Number two, the no D's and no F's. I thought of a cartoon my mom sent me this week. You know, those of you that have moms that know how to email and are on Facebook know that they're very fond of cartoons, and mine sends me a lot. But her cartoon said, when your child has a cavity, do you blame the dentist? And I thought, wow, that's really a great analogy. When we have so many D's and F's, do we point the finger at the teacher? A lot of the times, yes. So what are we doing collaboratively to work with parents? What are our setup for our district? I know we have very common goals and very common strategies, and I'm hoping that we can align those common goals to incorporate so we can see less D's and less F's in our classroom. I'm lucky. I teach ninth grade English. My class size has stayed pretty small. I am at 25 students at the ninth grade level, and I thank you for retaining that. It does allow me to give that individualized attention, and I have nightmares about the day when I'm going to see 32 freshmen sitting in my class, and I hope that that doesn't happen. Lastly, we just know that data and statistics show us that we will see achievement when we have smaller, individualized attention, and I hope you're taking that into consideration as we move through negotiations. The last part is really what I came to kind of talk about, and that is our offer that was presented to the staff. I've been here for 15 years. We have not seen an increase in salary until last year. Our previous increase was, I believe, 2008. That's a long time living without a cost of living increase as costs grow higher and higher and higher. I come from a family of educators. I have educator friends all over the country and educator friends in other districts. I know my girlfriend in Montebello. They just received 5% last year, 5% this year. And their health care costs are pretty minimal out of pocket. And in our district, the health care costs are almost detrimental to families, especially our teachers that are married to one another in our district. The health care cost is about a quarter of their take-home salary to pay for health and welfare benefits, and that's a lot. I've had teacher friends that have, I've tried to pull them into the Bulldog family, pull them into West Covina, because I do love it here so much, and they've had to turn jobs down, offers down, because they can't afford the health care. It's just, it's not feasible for them. So when we're looking at attracting and retaining good teachers and solid teachers in our district, we have to look at what we're putting forth into health and welfare. We have, I can name at least 5 to 10 teachers on our campus that opt out and take out their own personal health care policy because our district cannot provide them with an affordable health care. And that's just an option they're forced to do. I feel it's really not... It's kind of our district's job to work together as a team to find affordable healthcare policies for us. There's been talk of creating a team. As far as I know, there hasn't been a team put together. And I know our human resources has been slowly working on things for us. but it's coming a day late and a dollar short. We're getting a little tired of being patient, be patient, be patient. The 2% offer that was offered to us from the board really, to me, was a shock. I know a lot of my colleagues were literally at a loss of words. Everyone sitting in here that knows me, I am never at a loss of words. I was at a loss of words. I really and know that we've heard it, our teachers are wonderful. We love our teachers. We have the best teachers in the Valley. We have the best teachers. Our scores are going up. Our API is going up. And a 2% offer was just really a hard slap in the face. When we look at our national income average and the cost of living in and around West Covina, according to the National Low Income Housing Coalition, a two-bedroom, to be able to afford a two-bedroom apartment, you're looking at needing about $56,000 a year in annual income. To rent a three-bedroom house, you're looking at about $97,000 a year to afford renting a three-bedroom house. If you don't have a dual income, it's really hard to make it in this climate. When we look at our starting salaries, our attracting young teachers graduating from university with their bachelor's, we're offering them $44,000 a year. And if they graduate with their master's, so now they're graduating after 6 years of education, we're offering them $48,000 a year. It's not unheard of, but we are in the lower bracket in all of the surrounding districts in what we offer in salary and health and welfare benefits, and I hope that you will take that into consideration as we're going into cabinet and discussing these. I always feel, as a previous member of the organizing team, we're always negotiating with people that can't make the decisions at the table right then. So I just want to thank you for your time and your attention for listening tonight, and I hope we can come together with a satisfying offer next time. Thank you.
Irvin Thomas.
Good evening. Good evening, board. Good evening, administrators. Good evening, teachers, good evening, family, good evening, community. This year for 2014-15 was a good year for West Covina Unified. We had a lot of good things happening in the district. We graduated some really dynamic students throughout the district. We promoted a number of exciting students throughout the district. But we need to really think and reflect, because West Covina is known for being a good district. But are we known for being the best district? Are we known for being a superior district? Are we known for being a district that works well together as a team? Where all members are valued and where all members can come together and be felt and feel like they're being treated with respect. I think if we reflect seriously, we probably cannot say that is a history and a tradition that's well established within this district. And because of that, we're not a superior district. And when we are not superior, that means our students do not receive the superior education that they deserve. I like to feel that we can overcome that. I feel that's an opportunity for growth with each and every one of us. I think we need to look deeply within ourselves, look among ourselves, and say to ourselves, do we truly want to be superior? Do we really want to have the best for our students? Do we really want to cooperate to make sure that every student flourishes at the end of the school year, at the end of the education within West Covina Unified? I think we all care about students. Most days it's a real joy to work with students. Even other people's kids can be a lot of fun. But it could be a real joy and an enduring joy if we just have a little bit more cooperation among ourselves, a little bit more respect for what each and every one of us bring to the task of making this the most superior district in San Gabriel Valley. So that's, I think, a challenge for all of us to consider and work on. I certainly think it's one that I will work on, and I look forward to working on that with each and every one of everybody in this room. By the way, Mr. Flowers, I can be your friend, too. Thank you.
Okay, that's my last card. Is there anyone else who would like to address the board? Okay, I see a note. Go ahead, Mr. Gideas.
Hello, board. My name is David Godinez. I'm a teacher over at Holland Crest Middle School. I teach social studies, 8th grade. It's been a pleasure. I love it and love working with kids. But I do have to say that something that came to my mind was we speak about 21st century learning and skills. But at the same time, the other side of the coin, you need 21st century pay. You need 21st century investment. Because really, at the end of the day, we're public servants, not public serve us. So, thank you.
Okay, with that, we will move on to the organizational part of our meeting. Everything that can be on consent is on consent. So, are there any items a board member would like to remove from consent? Okay. It's been moved by Ms. Miranda Jimenez to approve the agenda consent items.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. Okay. And then before we get into what is going to be two long presentations, let's go ahead and just take a 5-minute break.